Welcome to the Dynasty Nerds Fantasy Football Podcast, where we discuss dynasty strategy, rankings, and all things NFL. So get ready to geek out on fantasy football with your host, Rich Dotson.
And welcome to the Dynasty Nerds Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm Rich Dotson. He's Matt O'Hara.
Hey, hey.
He's Garrett Price.
How's it going?
It's going well. We are entering week 13, so there's only 13, 14.
Two regular season weeks left.
Oh, wow. It's that it's almost over.
Up against it, man.
Two regular season weeks in the playoffs.
I went in my redraft league to go make a trade today, and like, the trade deadline has passed. I'm like, oh, that's kind of stupid.
I don't play in many that end before the playoffs. Most of mine end before the playoffs. There's a couple that you can trade all throughout the playoffs, and I know there's a big debate on whether you should or shouldn't. I have my personal feelings on it, but
you're talking about redraft.
You shouldn't.
No.
Dynasty. Dynasty. I'm a firm once the playoff starts.
Yeah,
and cut off.
Trade deadline for only teams in the playoffs.
Yeah, I agree. But there's a lot of people that don't want a trade line deadline. Period. You can trade in the championship week.
Yeah, I don't like that
one.
Yeah, I don't like that either.
Could you imagine?
I've seen it happen.
Hey, Dynasty Nerds, it's time to take your Dynasty game to the next level with FFPC's Dynasty Startup Leagues. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just getting started, FFPC has a league for you, with entry fees ranging from $100 up to $5,000. Choose from a variety of formats, including Superflex, Best Ball Superflex, Triflex, 1QB, and Standard. With weekly lineups, waivers, trades, head-to-head matchups, and playoffs, FFPC's fully managed leagues provide the ultimate dynasty experience. Most importantly, the leagues are here to stay. FFPC has never had a dynasty league fold. They manage the entire commissioner experience from buy-in management to fulfilling your orphans. FFPC is perfect place to expand your dynasty league portfolio. And here's the best part. As Dynasty Nerds listener, you can get $25 off any entry fee as a new member when you use the promo code NERDS. Head over to myffpc.com now to draft your team, manage your roster, and dominate your league with FFPC. That's myffpc.com. Promo code NERDS for $25 off any entry fee for new members. FFPC, where dynasty dreams become a reality.
Being there, and then all of a sudden, you're about to walk right into your championship, and somebody makes a huge move.
Yeah, they trade. We saw it happen in the UDPL a couple years ago. Somebody traded for CMC and somebody else, on championship week.
And just give up a ridiculous amount
of stuff, gave up a bunch of picks and future players whatever.
That just feels so yucky.
It does. I'm cool with it all the way up to the playoffs.
Yeah, me too.
But the second the playoffs start, you got to dance with. You got to be prepared. Are you worried about injuries? Okay, get an extra quarterback. Get an extra running back. Get an extra whatever.
It's a flurry of trades too. The urgency, the deadline of that. Hey, the playoffs are about to start. If you're going to make your moves, I've made moves up to
5 minutes before kickoff.
5 minutes before that Thursday night kickoff. Yeah. Dude, we got to get this done. DeAndre Hopkins trade. Yeah. Have to get this done. We have five right minutes. Now. We have to get it in. And that's where a lot of deals take place.
Of course.
So it's fun. So today we're going to talk some injuries, some uninjuries. We got a couple players we're going to talk about. Kyren Williams, Dak Prescott, Tank Dell. And then we'll get into the Nerd Herd show, and we're actually going to do some pick your poison and some players that are under the radar that might be good trade targets now. Some we've talked about before, some we have not. So we're getting all that in these next two episodes. So let's dive right into some injuries. A big one.
Pops out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere.
Who
today.
Knew, right? Who knew?
He played the second half of the game.
Right.
Scored multiple touchdowns.
Jonathan Taylor.
Oh.
Boo-boo. Out. Got to get surgery today. He's out for 2 to 3 weeks, so it's not possible.
So that's
IR.
Official, huh?
Yeah, he is getting surgery. I missed it's that. It's 2 to 3 weeks.
Oh.
Yeah.
Jimmy Hersey can't keep a secret.
the second it happened, he was on social media.
Dude, three paps, blue ribbons, and he's out there going, you're not going to believe this.
He needs to hire somebody just to stop him from doing things, right? Save him from him.
The problem is he probably had somebody like that, and he probably fired him.
What was it Affliction? That was right. Those Affliction shirts?
Yeah,
sure.
Nothing's worse than seeing some old guy walking around with bedazzled jeans on, Affliction jeans. It's Jim Irsay. I mean, if you have $1 billion, you can do whatever you want because nobody's going to tell you look bad.
They're probably real diamonds on those.
Are those glued on jewels? Son, those are 14 karat gold. That's not lace. It's not sewed on. It's gold.
Those are half carat diamonds each.
So Zach Moss comes in for Jonathan Taylor. He's going to start. And he's got multiple 100-yard games. He's looked pretty good there for the Indianapolis Colts. Yes. But for Jonathan Taylor, owners now, this was his best game this past week. You've had 2 years for a guy that was dynasty running back one just 2 years ago, 2 years of very disappointment.
Very disappointment.
Very disappointment.
No, it has been. And this is from somebody that's a fairly big Jonathan Taylor guy. Like I've liked him a lot throughout his career. And yeah, these past 2 years have been pretty frustrating. You had a lot of the injuries last year. This year you didn't deal with the injuries as much, but it was the holdout and the contract and that bled into the season. You've and been then
nothing but disappoint.
Yes, nothing but disappoint. Very much so disappoint.
Not so very much so, just very disappoint.
So we'll see how this goes. The part where it gets tricky is we kind of saw it when he first came back, and I'm worried that this could happen again. Let's say he misses, best case scenario, 1 week, even though it's listed 2 to 3 weeks.
Sure.
Let's say he only misses 1 week. He's feeling good. He's coming back. Are you able to trust him his first game back? And that's going to be tricky because especially if it's pushed to 2 or 3 or 4 weeks, until he comes back, are you going to be able to trust him right out of the gate in a playoff game? That's right. Going to be tough to do.
That's the toughest part, is he'll probably come back week one of your playoffs,
yeah,
which you're probably not in because you missed Jonathan Taylor all year.
Fortunately for me, actually, my league that I care about most, I secured the bye this week. So that means these next 2 weeks don't matter for me. I already secured the bye, and I'm not playing the first round of the playoffs, so that's 3 weeks.
Here's a crazy story. So I'm like, I'm in a league where my only running backs are in Smash Mouth. My only running backs are Saquon Barkley and Jonathan Taylor. That's it. I'm the number two seed in the league.
It's wild. So you never know how it could work out. But yeah, obviously you were counting on him.
Yeah, and I've been starting. Yeah. Ty Chandler and Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
There you go. Ty's played decent lately.
Yeah.
Ish.
Not really this past week.
Do you remember Clyde Edwards-Helaire?
I do. You know what? We actually, it's funny you mentioned him because we talked a lot about him and this guy we're talking about right now at the same time.
It's the last big rant I went on. Why Jonathan Clyde Edwards-Helaire should be the number one overall.
I legitimately remember because we had all of these debates and we get to like week 7 or 8 of their rookie season.
Oh yeah. And Jonathan Taylor looked bad.
He did not do much those first like 8 weeks or so. Clyde Edwards-Helaire had played pretty well those first like 2 or 3 weeks at least. And I remember you telling me, Rich, you're like, Garrett, I'm legitimately upset with you. And you're like, I'm like, what? You're like, I'm upset with you. Cause I actually did one time go get Jonathan Taylor and he looks like crap. He's terrible.
Whoops. That didn't really work out too well. It all goes back to that damn Andy Reid, like,
The Deuce Staley Brian Westbrook.
Mahomes and Andy Reid both agreed that, hey, we got to go get this kid Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And that Andy Reid was like, the GM was like, he reminds me of Brian Westbrook. And Andy Reid was like, better than Brian Westbrook. And I was like, man, Brian Westbrook caught like 95 footballs for like
number
3 years.
Number one overall running back.
Yeah, 3 years in a row. This is a dynasty goldmine. But you win some, you lose some.
Yeah, who knows? So, who knew that he would never become a pass-catching back?
And Jonathan Taylor would.
Yeah.
A very good pass catching back. Football. And who would have thought that, J.K. Dobbins would never amount to anything because of injury. Just DeAndre Swift had to get traded to Philly 4 years
later. It was a legendary class that overall is kind of a disappointment.
Overall? Yeah. Massive disappointment. Yeah.
Akers never became anything.
Zach Moss.
Zach Moss. I mean, he's looking like one of the better ones at the moment.
Kidding,
man. Yeah, he really would be. That it reminds me of that class, the Sean Marino, Beanie Wells, and Donald Brown.
That was horrible.
They went 1-2-3 that year, and the fourth player was
LeSean McCoy.
No, that was the fourth running back, but he went like round 6 that year. The number one receiver wasn't that good too, because Jeremy Maclin was in that class.
Was it Darius Hayward Bay? No, was it
Doriel Green Beckham?
No,
he went like 112. It wasn't Justin Blackman, was it? No, he would have went higher.
Jeremy Maclin was in that one.
Jeremy Maclin wasn't.
Yeah. I can't remember.
So I took Jeremy Maclin 9 that year.
Yeah.
He was okay. All right, well, whatever.
He had a decent career.
So another injury, Chris Olave, concussion. Concussed.
Concussed again.
Which might likely miss.
Major disappoint.
Game. Yeah.
Yeah, it's some MD. It's some MD right there. This is supposed to be a breakout year for
Hit
Olave.
Me, doctor. Okay.
Major disappointment. So he'll likely miss a game, which is going to be a bump too with every other injuries. Is and you saw when that Olave went out, Juwan Johnson was actually involved. He started playing like 65% more snaps.
Seven targets, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And we might as well mention it now because one of his wide receivers, Shaheed, is out looking like the next week or two with a quad strain. So that wide receiver core is decimated. So a guy like Juwan Johnson, if you're desperate, like this week, I'm going to need to start him because Mark Andrews was my starting tight end. Obviously, he's out. Cole Kmet, obviously, was on that team as well, but this is his bye week.
Yeah. Yep.
So so I'm gonna have to start somebody like that this week, and I feel good about better, I should say. I feel better about starting him this week, knowing that Olave and Shaheed will both be out.
I'd feel very comfortable starting Juwan Johnson these next couple weeks. And, he'll play most of the snaps there, and he'll see a heavy target share.
And I'm with you there. I'm in a similar situation, and I'm going to have to start Juwan Johnson. I feel good about it. I mean, who are the other guys on the team? Is it
Taysom Hill?
It'll be
who?
Taysom Hill. The positions.
Taysom Hill plays running.
He plays football.
Tight end, wide receiver.
But they got like A.T. Perry is another name that's going to probably pop up and be potentially interesting because we know Michael Thomas is out.
Right, Michael Thomas is out. He's a size speed guy too. I mean, he was 6'4". I think he ran in the 4.3s. So we'll see what. AT can do.
He had a good game last time. He was pushed up into be the the number one receiver. Yeah,
Christian Kirkwood or something, right? Or not Christian Kirkwood.
Might be. I honestly would have to take a look at the rest of the depth chart. Chances are nobody that you're going to be willing to start. It's going to basically be
Juwan Johnson.
If you're desperate.
Keith Kirkwood.
Okay, Keith Kirkwood. If you're, Juwan Johnson, you can feel decent starting at tight end. And then if you're absolutely positively desperate, then maybe AT Perry. But after that, I think that's it.
Mari Cooper has a rib injury to be determined, but possible he misses this week. He usually plays, so we'll see. Because the x-rays came back negative. They're going to play LA, the Rams this week in a must win for the Browns. So, with Cooper out, you would expect Elijah Moore, who they're both seeing the same amount of targets, to step up there. We saw Cedric Tillman get a little bit more involved this past week, which is kind of nice.
I would like to see him with a good quarterback. What he could do because he's a guy
big physical guy
looked good in college. We gave him some pretty good scores coming out of college. Looked really good in the preseason from what we saw. Granted, lower level of competition in preseason, but looked really good in preseason. And he's got that size to be a physical, true X type of receiver, which Cleveland really hasn't had that traditional. Now I know Amari Cooper talent wise, obviously
Josh Gordon,
but since Josh Gordon, he would be the last one. Braylon Edwards, like those type of guys. He fits that mold. Can he develop like we'll need him to? We'll see.
I was a big Thompson fan, Tillman fan. There was at one point I said I would draft Marvin Mims and Cedric Tillman ahead of Quentin Johnston.
Yeah,
on this podcast, and I know you guys were like, "Oh, I'm not there yet," but like
I think I had Tillman ahead of that much. Quentin Johnston too. I didn't have Mims, but
yeah, Tillman's tape at Tennessee before he had an ankle injury was which propelled Jalen Hyatt into the Blinnikoff Award. Was really good, as a true X receiver. We'll see how that could translate to the NFL. Looked good this past week, but I would like to see him a little bit more involved. I think if they are in position with Dorian Thompson-Robinson also being in concussion protocol, this would have to put Joe Flacco in the starting seat because you can't start P.J. Walker. P.J. Walker is the worst quarterback in the NFL. Worse than Zach Wilson. I'm sorry. He's atrocious. When he's on the field, as a diehard Browns fan, I feel hopeless. It must be when Zach Wilson's on the field, I'm sure. When the Raiders had Bagnett in there. I mean, Tommy DeVito's playing well, so I won't say anything about him. But
yeah, no kidding.
Right? I truly feel hopeless. Don't turn the ball over. So Joe Flacco hopefully comes in and starts this week, which is nuts because if somehow Joe Flacco comes in and he plays okay and then he takes the Browns really far and by some miracle of the gods that they actually got win a Super Bowl. I would be the biggest.
Joe Flacco, the longtime Baltimore Raven, now becomes a Cleveland legend.
It would
be hilarious.
If you told me 6 months ago, that happened, Rich, you're going to be a giant Joe Flacco. And I'm like, that'd be, it's impossible. It's not even possible. But yeah, it's a possibility now. So
telling me those are injuries. Chance.
Not too bad. Nothing's.
Shh. We did that. We did that recently. It did not go well.
You know, this wasn't a really bad. It's a pretty good week for
Quentin Johnson.
Next week.
Quentin Johnson also had a rib thing that came back negative. Just to throw him on there as well.
Oh, was it a rib thing or a hand thing?
No, that wasn't. That wasn't his rib or his hand. That was his heart pressing against his ribs as it dropped because he looks exactly like what we complained about in March.
He did.
Exactly. Like we were one of the few, to be fair, I don't listen to other people's podcasts, but
from what we saw on Twitter,
from the Dynasty community, which I am heavily involved in, visually.
Wait, what?
Stalker.
Over the last year, I've got a little bit more Matt O'Hara on Twitter. Yeah. You know, I used to tweet visually all the time, but like I save it now more for the podcast. I do a lot of retweeting, you know, the Nerds account. I put stuff out there.
Yeah, you do not here.
So
and there. I actually recently did a big long tweet about Quentin Johnston and kind of why I was out on him and Treylon Burks, and you know I talked about like there's these prototype players where, and we've talked about it a lot on the show, where for me, yes, they might be big and yes, they might be perceived to be fast, but if they don't have the nuanced things, they don't, and specifically ball skills, if they don't have ball skills, typically they don't translate. Really the only one that I could point to, and I pointed to a lot of other guys that, you know, kind of fell by the wayside.
Sure.
The only one over the past like 10 years that fits that type of, you know, big physical player, but doesn't have ball skills was DK Metcalf.
Oh, DK.
He's the only one that really fit that mold and still succeeded. Outside of that, you can look at just a laundry list of guys, the N'Keal Harrys and just all of these guys that just.
Terrell Green Beckham.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
that stuff plays in college. That's the problem. You know what I mean? Those guys can win in college without those nuances.
Devin Funchess.
Yeah. Because they're bigger than the guys that they're playing. They're just more athletic than the guys that they're playing. But once you get to the NFL, it's the pinnacle. It's the
peak. Yeah. Hakeem Butler.
You got to have
Kevin Benjamin.
You got to have all of it. You know,
Benjamin.
I mean? Benjamin.
Belzer.
Benjamin Waffles.
Mr. Belvedere.
Benjamin Waffles. They're really just desserts, really.
They're delicious, though. Yeah. Most breakfast food, if you look at it, it's like meat and desserts. That's basically what most breakfast
food is. When I was in Belgium, I was like, I'm going to try like Belgian waffles for breakfast. And then it turns out like, they treat Belgian waffles as like desserts. And they're all covered in pastries and deliciousness. And I was like, this is different. Hey, guys, let me tell you about our friends at Sleeper. Guess what? Our app is the Mini is live on Sleeper right now. The Dynasty so GM, pretty. You use the analyzer, that you can use nice. the trade calculator. And my favorite thing is the inbox, right? Where all your trades from all your Sleeper leagues are right there. You can actually push trades through the actual Sleeper app. And right now we couldn't be more excited to be partners with them. And right now, if you don't know, they are doing DFS. And I know how many people that play Dynasty play DFS as well. And right now there's not a better place to play DFS than Sleeper. They're offering up to 100 times your entry, the highest payout in the whole DFS market right now. You can track your fantasy players and your Sleeper picks in real time. All you gotta do is choose 2 to 8 of your favorite players from pregame, live in-game, or even across different sports. Pick more or less than predicted stats, and only on Sleeper you get up to 100 times your payout. You can share with your friends and get rewarded together. Make sure you use that promo code NERD so our friends know that friends sent them their way. And get your deposit match and friendly. Have a good time. You know, have all your DFS, all of your fantasy leagues, and now even a Dynasty GM in one spot is fully operational inside Sleeper right now. And then when you're a Nerd Herd member, you get that full access to that. And remember, you also want to download the Dynasty Nerds app because they're both in there. Check it out. Check out our friend Sleeper. Check out the DFS. Use that promo code NERDS.
Get your whole estate set. A quote from my daughter today. Dad, you know what's delicious? I don't know what. Whipped cream and syrup. I was like, yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
We're getting smarter, kid.
Accurate. Accurate.
So those are, we have any on injuries?
We do.
Oh, no, but go back to your big receiver before we go to that too. Yeah, you're 100% right. You know, ball skills, 3-cone drill, like
ability to move.
And that's why
at that size. Yeah.
It's always why like one of my favorite things to watch at the combine always is the gauntlet run.
Yeah.
Like it shows me a lot about receivers. It's where I fell in love with Vincent Jackson. I fell in love with him. North Dakota?
I remember AJ Brown looked fantastic in that drill.
Yeah, it's Out of all the wide receiver drills, my two for me, because the 40s, whatever, it doesn't really mean anything. It's a three-cone drill, because I want to see how loose their hips are. And Jackson Smith and Jigba just all time that.
Yeah.
And the gauntlet. Those are my two favorite things that help me like visually see like a receiver.
Yeah, I was talking with with somebody recently, and in fact, the 40 time actually has an inverse effect on performance, which obviously it doesn't hurt you to be faster. No. But if you were to look at it on a graph of like guys that are really fast and guys that are producing numbers, it's the opposite of what you would expect. Like the 40 time in a sense seems like it almost is a hindrance. It's not, but they rely a lot on that speed versus developing in other ways.
It's a hindrance when, and we bag on those guys all the time, when they're the first round pick and they usually go in the top 10, it's all because they ran a 4.29 or 4.31 and they go for like John Ross, Darius Hayward Bay, the guys you're talking about. And they were like, dude, these guys went in the top 10.
They're even a guy I love, like Ted Ginn.
Yeah, another.
Yep. Love Ted Ginn. Great returner. Wasn't that great of a receiver?
Nope.
He was fast.
Super fast and would make a big play here and there, and it was awesome.
Yep.
But not somebody you wanted to count on week in, week out as a steady receiver.
The Will Fullers that are going to stretch the field, and that's where they, you know, at least Will Fuller could kind of catch the ball here and there.
Yeah.
A lot of those guys can't even catch the ball.
Right.
That's the problem. They're just fast.
Yep.
So, all right, on injury report, Justin Jefferson officially off IR
off
today.
Off IR, finally.
Woo. Too bad now, he's on his bye.
Does kind of suck.
But he's sort of.
Just when you thought.
Yeah, he's right where he was before.
I was just listening to NFL radio, and they're talking about maybe even switching up the quarterback, right? They have not committed to anybody.
Last night, it was bad. Wow.
Me and Matt were right. I retract my apology of calling him bad because
it was bad.
He had that one good game, but he was.
He had more than one good game. He had like three or four games where he looked really good. But
don't pat him up, Fluffer.
But it was bad.
No,
it was really bad.
Typical backup, really good backup quarterback performance, right? I mean, like he's kind of pulled all his tricks out. Everyone's seen him now, and now he's kind of been exposed.
Right, he's got to take the next step, and he hasn't been able to do that yet.
Correct.
Yep.
And they're going to take this whole bye week to kind of, I think, probably self-scout, figure out which one of these guys is going to work best with their returning star, Justin Jefferson, and the rest of the guys. I mean, everyone else there is. Also been holding down the fort is still pretty talented, so they're gonna have to figure out who's gonna be.
Still love to have him in Cleveland.
When the head coach comes, we're gonna look at all our options. Yeah. Jaren Hall's healthy now. They're gonna see what, like, your job's done. You're like, you lost your job. Like, there's no like,
right.
Hey, we're gonna see. Like, we'll see. Hey, Bill, we're gonna see what quarterbacks we're gonna play. Both, we don't know how it's gonna. Yeah, you're done.
Yeah,
you're done. New England's gonna have Caleb Williams, Drake May.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. We'll see if they still have Bill Belichick.
They should just reboot the whole program.
Speaking of rebooting a whole program, we forgot to even mention that other one, huh? The firing of...
Frank Reich. Yeah, we didn't even put it on here.
We didn't even put it on this thing.
Just because I...
Does it matter?
That's the part. That's the hard part is like...
It needs to be mentioned.
It does. It should absolutely be mentioned.
I mean, when they said that they fired QB coach Josh McGowan, and I was like, oh, I forgot Josh was a QB coach. Yeah. I was like, oh, that makes sense.
That makes perfect.
That didn't work.
You took a guy who was never a coach and made him the coach of your rookie quarterback who's undersized.
Yeah. That was an odd fit all around. But now it sounds like there's some rumors floating around that maybe they didn't even really want.
Not according to David Tepper.
I know David Tepper said
everybody wanted him.
Everyone was unanimous. On the same page. Yeah. But it sounds like there's some stuff leaking out already.
Yeah, we'll see.
That maybe C.J. Stroud was the apple of the coach's eye.
It's
anyway.
So hard to know. Like in retrospect, sure, right. Everybody
sure
that would have never leaked had C.J. Stroud not been balling out like he is.
I mean, course. If you listen to the Eisner's podcast, you'd be very clear about where we stood on all this.
We had mentioned it several times over that the number two in the class and. Maybe we're even mistaken. Maybe he should have been number one. But
right. But
we had him ahead of Bryce Young the entire way. Post-draft, pre-draft, didn't matter. It was C.J. Stroud.
Easily ahead of Bryce Young. Ahead of Bryce Young. And the only reason Bryce Young was as high as he was is because he's the number one pick in the draft class. Yeah. So,
right.
Never been a big fan of him. I said it when watching his tape. I was like, I just don't see where he could be fantasy relevant. Like maybe, like I said, I was like, maybe his pinnacle is like Andy Dalton.
Sure.
And to be fair to Bryce,
it's still very early.
It's very early. go out there and prove me wrong. But for the most part, that usually doesn't happen. Suck it, haters.
I cut you off in the middle of your uninjury report. Brought to you by Asper Cream. Michael Wilson coming off of...
I think we've had him on here for like 2 or 3 weeks, and it, like something keeps popping up where he doesn't. And same thing with T. Higgins. T. Higgins is the other one on
T.
here.
T. Higgins is playing this week.
We'll see. It keeps seeming like all these guys are going to play. I think all three of these players have been on here for 3 weeks. Yeah. We're like, oh, yeah, they're back. Probably.
T. Higgins is going to make a big difference for the Bengals. I need those turds to step up this week and give me a W. To be fair, my Browns lost. It's all kind of moot. But
you're just grumpy now.
I mean, Jake Browning.
I mean.
Last name says it all.
Hey, would you take him? Jake Browning?
Over what we have?
Yeah. I would take my grandma over PJ Walker, and she's not even alive anymore.
Oh.
Yeah, it says a lot.
That does say a lot.
Got ghost out there.
Hey, I mean, she could break tackles.
Yeah, try to wrap up a ghost. Good luck.
Matt and I watched a game together this week, and I was like, they were like, PJ Walker's coming. I was like, can we just like run the Wildcat? Can we just do that?
Kareem Hunt, you are now the quarterback. Yeah,
or anybody. Drex Stampin' to Elijah. Just mix it all up. But anybody but PJ Walker.
The problem is Harrison Bryant is your
emergency. Yeah, we did try that. All right. One try, fumble.
All right, let's get into something else. New topic here.
Yeah, let's get into a new topic here. So this was a player that was pretty high on my nerd score last year. And speaking of the dreaded 40 time, this player ran the 40 and it cratered his draft stock.
Totally. Was it 4.7?
Something like
4.71.
Yeah. I think originally it was like 4.77 and then they like updated it to 4.7 flat or something like that.
And I remember when that happened, I was like, I gave him no attention. I said, it's not even worth it because I was like, four guys that run 4.7s, unless you're Jerry Rice, aren't going to make it.
Yeah. And completely
call this guy Jerry.
Jerry.
So suck it, haters.
Pre-draft, I had him, I want to say, fifth running back, nerd score wise. So I gave him a pretty high score, knowing that that cratered it. He's not going to be a day two guy anymore. He's going to fall to day three if he gets drafted. Who knows? Year one, wasn't great. Comes out week one this year and puts Cam Akers on the bench. And Kyren Williams has been fantastic all season long. Has the injury, and you're like, okay, well, it was a nice run while he had it. Comes back in the very first week, 204 yards.
Highest scoring game of the year.
Two touchdowns. Very first game back. Now, granted, it was Arizona, not the best defense or anything like that. But still, or anything.
Or special teams.
but all of that being said, do we think that Kyren Williams is more of the next Aaron Jones, Arian Foster, where not good draft capital, but just a good player and makes it happen? Or is this just a flash in the pan?
This one's tough, but given their situation there, right? Mm-hmm. And how they are going to be, I would think, blowing this thing up, right?
It seems like it's heading that direction.
I would think he could stick for a couple of years while they're trying to dig themselves out of this hole, right? Yeah.
100%.
From a financial standpoint, I think he's shown that he's a good enough back to do that. Whether or not he's going to come out the other side, I'm not yet certain on. You know what I mean? Like if he's good enough to be
a second contract kind of guy.
Correct.
Yeah, I don't worry about second contracts for running back. It's the least of my concerns. Like, give me 2-3 years. Hashtag 2-3 year window. And you know, number two overall running back in points per game at 21.4, I believe, Kyren Williams, right ahead of Devon Achane, right behind. Not right behind, multiple points behind Christian McCaffrey, who's averaging 24. But 21 point, now that 38-point game this week
propelled sure helps.
On Achane.
Sure helps.
But yeah, number two in points per game. And I agree with Matt 100%. Like, I thought the same, that would have been my same exact answer. Like, where the Rams are overall, draft pick-wise, salary, everything, like, the least of their concerns is a running back. Definitely
he's playing as well as he's playing really
he's
well.
Producing, yep.
Yeah, and we have seen it other times where we've said the same type of thing. Like, oh, that guy's playing pretty good. They won't draft anybody, and then they draft somebody. So I don't think he's 100% safe, but I'm 100% with you guys. I think he's a very talented back. I think he fits everything Sean McVay wants him to do. He's very good in pass protection. He can catch the football. Like, he does everything well enough that you don't have to take him off the field ever. And I think that's what he wants, is somebody that can do that. So I think he's as safe as a fifth-round running back can be.
And that's the thing. It's such a low investment, right?
Yep.
That not to say that they would even replace him with a higher investment, but they could just as well hit on an undrafted guy. You know what I mean? And
if Sean McVay leaves and it's a new regime, like.
So that's why I said I think he's going to be there through whatever's going to happen in the next couple of years.
Yeah.
Likelihood-o-meter that he's a starter next year.
Oh, I think 9.
Yeah, it's is it a 1 to 10?
Halfbacks, half points. Yeah. 1 to 10.
Yeah, 1 to 10. We were playing that other one when it was like 5 or something.
Yeah, it was kind of like a likelihood-o-meter, but it was a little bit different.
That threw me off. It did throw you off. I didn't like that one.
We should stay on brand.
1 through 5?
9.5. 9.5.
9.5?
I'll give a solid 9.
Okay.
I feel really good about it. Yeah. To the point where, like, if I'm making a trade push this year, like, if somebody had, like, hey, I want a late first for Kyren Williams and I need a running back, like, I feel comfortable.
That's what I was going to ask. Is it to the point where you'd be willing to give a first as a contender? I think I would.
I would need a running back. Like I would need. I just lost Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah.
Like
your exact situation.
The rest of the year. yeah. And I'd prefer to push out the 25 if I could. But yeah, I would give probably a late first because nothing else is going to get done anyways.
Nope.
And I would love if I had Kyren Williams, I would love to be able to sell him for a first at the same time.
Sure.
On both ends of that. So either if you're a contender, this is somebody who I'm actively trying to get. If you're not a contender, this is a perfect time to sell.
Yeah.
Somebody that you got third, fourth, fifth round of your rookie draft.
I think I'm in the exact same boat where I think a first is a perfectly fair price point, and I'm willing to be on either side of that depending on where my team is.
Yeah.
So.
And to be fair.
No need to beat Dynasty. That one to death. I think that's smart. That's just smart, like smart ownership, smart playing right there.
If you're not a contender, all running backs are off your roster. Yeah. And I hate buying running backs in Dynasty. I really do. But
we've talked about the late round hit rates.
It's 50-50. Yeah. 100%. And anytime anybody approaches me with these draft picks, I'm like, I was like, this isn't something I'm just making up. This is a study we did. We went back over 12 years. And the odds of your pick, if you're picking between 9, 10, 11, and 12, those last four picks, which are the playoff teams.
Yep.
The odds of that player being even rosterable, not even startable, just rosterable on your Dynasty roster is 50%. 50-50. To be rosterable, to be good, I think we did that too. It was like
27 like, or something crazy like that. Yeah, it was
even lower to speak good. So when you're a contender, and you get and Kyren Williams fits the bill of a young guy. And anytime you get multiple years out of a guy as a contender, that first is so meaningless to me. And it's a one thing where we go left in Dynasty where everybody else goes right because we totally devalue draft picks here. Mm-hmm. And the reason we devalue draft picks is we understand the high draft picks are very important, which are also could be huge misses. We talked about these running back classes, two different classes. They were all misses, essentially.
Yeah. Well, and this class doesn't look great at the moment at running back. If there's one position, it's not great because it's looking great at quarterback, great at receiver, great at tight end. Running back looks pretty meh at the moment. So if there was a time to go get a running back, it would probably – Kyren fits the bill. He's a younger player. He's performed. Like, I really do like him as a trade target.
Yeah. Draft picks are for teams that are rebuilding, trying to get a new team together.
I'm glad you said that.
They could take the chances and swing the bat.
I don't want it to be misconstrued like we hate draft
picks. Oh, love them if you're rebuilding.
Yeah. I love all picks, 1 through 12. Love them. I wish I had them all. I do. I love them all.
Yeah. But I mean, but when you're making the run, you have to calculate, you have to take your swings at the right times. And leading up to the playoffs right now, if there's an injury, this is the time to go out and get a guy. Mm-hmm. And Kyren Williams is a guy that should be on the move because we explain it. Both sides win. You know what I mean? You're making a huge come up if you drafted him in the fifth round and now all of a sudden you're getting offered a first round draft pick for him. That's huge for a rebuild. That's how you take a big jump, right?
Yep.
And then if you're on the other end of it, you're going to get a nice 2 to 3 year window with this guy as a starter, and he's going to be able to help you right now. He's crushing. Just go out and get him.
What you want as a contender, you want proven assets, and the best way to get those is draft capital. First round picks. And we talked about this even at the Expo. You know, we are good friends that do the Dynasty Trades and Five show. You know, Scott Connor, Clay, Shane Manila, those guys, you know, they play, the way they do is they track draft capital. They want all the draft capital they get. And we're, you know, I trade away. I mean, Scott had this conversation. Like we play, I enjoy it. I enjoy those conversations because nobody's wrong or right. Like we're both, you know, Scott has a lot of success the way he plays, and I have a lot of success the way I play Dynasty. And, you know, I found over the years, by being able to trade those draft capitals over and over and over again, like, I can consistently maintain a winner because you always get new draft picks. You know, if you're in my group chats, like, the one thing is, like, oh, Rich is okay. Like, I just gave away all those draft picks for Trey McBride. Like, Rich doesn't care. He's going to get all new draft picks reloaded to the trade next year for 2026.
Every year
to trade. And it's a good way to go out there and keep contending because I want the proven assets. Like, I don't want rookies that could be okay. Give me a guy that's going to give me 2 to 3 years by the time then, again, my draft capital is already back. You know, if my team blows up, I can have my – I still have my draft pick. But I have my team's design where, like, I have these 2 to 3 year windows of championship caliber. And like, if I get to the brink of it, I won't trade my first down the road because I know that's a good chance it's to be a high first. But like, if I'm in that 2 to 3 year window of competing, I don't want any of my draft picks. I don't want them because I know for a fact that those draft picks are going to return me DJ Moore's, Amari Cooper's, AJ Brown, like even big time players like AJ Brown. Oh, I had to give up 2 first and this player to get AJ Brown. Oh no. Like now, granted, that's going to do AJ Brown now, but like who cares?
Right.
Like
I just recently made a trade. This would have been probably about 3 weeks ago at this point. And my team, it's one of those teams where I'm stuck in the middle, you know, it's the first year of it. So all teams are pretty close. It's the first year of the league. I'm right in the middle points wise. I'm like fourth, but I'm sitting in seventh. I'm like, I got to decide which way I'm going. I gotta be in or out. And so I made a trade. I traded my first round pick, which is a little bit risky when you're kind of stuck in the middle there. Traded my first round pick, but shows how thirsty people can be for first round picks. I got Michael Pittman Jr., Nico Collins, and Romeo Doubs for a first round pick.
For one
first round pick? 2024. Michael Pittman alone would have been worth it.
Yeah.
Michael Pittman alone would have been worth it. But to get those extra, but that shows at times those deals don't always happen.
No.
But there are times where those deals. Because he's looking at me saying, well, what if he loses this a few more?
Yeah.
What if all of a sudden that's 102?
Yeah.
And right now I'm in sixth. So, you know, I'm right in that, still in that same zone, but
it happens all the time. And it's why I say this podcast, you always throw those kind of trade offers out there. People are like, oh, those trades aren't going to work. I understand most of the time. And in most leagues, because every league is different, 80% of the time, 98% of the time, those aren't going to work.
You're getting a disappointment. But,
yeah.
Or disappoint.
You're getting a disappointment.
Very disappointing. But sometimes they do.
And major disappointment.
And sometimes you get blown away of like, oh my God, I just got AJ Brown. I just got T. Higgins. I just got Christian McCaffrey. I just got this player. And there's so many times, I'm in a lot of leagues, but there is so many countless trades I could tell you that's happened to me. Getting Tyreek Hill, getting Christian McCaffrey when he was hurt for just a first.
Don't point at me because you got Tyreek Hill
off
of me.
Or a second round pick.
I was trying to unload that turd.
Yes, he did. Best trade ever made.
I feel better about myself.
There you go.
I made some bad ones.
I can sleep at night.
I made some bad ones. So next player, let's talk about.
Yeah, let's talk about Dak Prescott. I remember putting out a video, and he was one of the guys in the video this year, talking about these players have started off rough, but better days are ahead. And Dak Prescott was kind of the feature of that video. And boy, has that come true. Dak Prescott went from being written off quarterback 21 through the first 5 weeks. And he's coming off a couple seasons that were meh anyway and getting a little bit older now, age 30. So people were really starting to move him down ranks. He was moving down pretty far.
I was one of those people.
Yeah, well, things have changed a little bit. Since then, he has been the number one overall quarterback in points per game with 2.3 points more than the next closest guy. So clearly established himself as the number one quarterback since then. I mentioned before, he's 30 years old at this point. Where should we have him ranked in Dynasty? Because he doesn't quite have the same rushing upside that he'd once had. But obviously, he can still get it done.
If you can throw 4 touchdowns a game, it doesn't matter.
Every game doesn't matter.
he's got the weapons around him. I'm in a league where I'm trying to lose. Uh-huh. It's one of my leagues where like I currently have the 1-2.
Sure.
So it's not, but up until this week, I wasn't the 1-2. I'm like, Dak is the one guy who's been killing me by like giving me all these points.
Doing
like,
too well. Yes.
Come on, baby. But I mean, at 30, really, really spreading the ball around well. He's got some really good weapons and having Jake Ferguson there, having CeeDee Lamb, having Brandon Cooks, Michael Gallup. So I have him currently, he's right in front of Brock Purdy, like right behind Kyler Murray.
Okay. So that would put him at what, like ninth, 10th?
Like 13. Maybe a little bit higher than that. I have to look here.
I feel like he's right around 10 for me.
Right around 10?
Yeah. I mean, that's where he feels right.
All right. Let me ask this one.
Sure.
And this is going to feel gross.
Okay. Gross me out a little bit. I like it.
Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
Or Trevor Lawrence.
I'm still taking Trevor.
Still taking Trevor? What about you?
I have Trevor above him, if memory serves.
I'm sticking with I understand, and like Trevor's come off a really good game.
He did. He had a very good game this week. Right, that's the hard part.
I'm still sticking with Trevor, and I'm still buying anywhere there's a slight discount. Like, he's still only like 23, 24 years old, somewhere. He's still super young. Still has that total prototypical quarterback size. Everything you want out of him. So
first overall pick. Yep.
I'm joking. I got Dak at 7, and I got him above Trevor Lawrence. I'm taking him above Trev.
Wow.
I have him above Trevor Lawrence as well.
Yes, I know. I'm still sticking with it.
And I can't blame you.
But they're close.
I've just never been the biggest Trevor Lawrence guy. So I think that plays into it a little bit.
Did you see the tweet of... Oh, I don't remember who tweeted it, but like, once you see it, you can't unsee it. You know the Easter Island heads?
Okay, yeah.
If you can find it, it's an Easter Island head, and they put Trevor Lawrence's hair on it, and the Easter Island head looks just like Trevor Lawrence. And like, once you see it, you can't unsee it. And I'm like, oh my God.
He does have a long face. He has like very longer long face. Features.
We're done the show. We'll Google it.
Okay.
We'll Google
I kind of want to see it, yeah.
But once you see it, you can't unsee it.
That's funny.
I can't even unpicture it now in my brain.
Yeah, Trevor Lawrence is great grandpa's made those.
All right, so for what it's worth, between Dak, and I'm still struggling with what to do with Justin Fields. I have Justin Fields ahead of Lawrence. I think I'm about to move him below Lawrence.
Fields. Justin Fields is right above Dak, too.
Okay, and then I have Kyler Murray, then Trevor Lawrence. So I have Dak at 8. And I have Trevor Lawrence at 11.
I'm sorry, one QB, I'd probably take Dak ahead of some of those guys because it's less important. So I want the better guy right now. But super flex, like 6 years.
It's a lot.
And rushing upside to some of these guys, like I can't.
It's a lot.
Like even at a point where like the quarterback is like, okay, even if Dak's better for the next 3 years, I would rather take a guy who's maybe 2 points per game, not as good. For 7 years, so worried now I'm not gonna have a quarterback down the road. Does that make sense?
I understand what you're saying. Yeah.
I understand what you're saying, but Dak's 30. He's not 40.
I understand that too.
Okay.
So, Dak,
they're for the next 5, 6, 7 years.
They're in a tier, right? Like, it's in a tier. Any different day, that tier could change up which way I would go.
Okay.
But when you get tiers, like.
You're crying a little bit. Got some disappoint, and you're crying a little bit.
Very disappoint.
Very disappoint.
Very little BD.
Now you need the MD back.
Yeah,
clear up the VD.
Clear up the VD.
Very major disappoint. VMD.
Wow.
Yeah. Very major disappoint. Speaking of majors, I texted the Colonel today. I was like,
"Did you?"
I was like, "Damian Pierce has been so."
Did you
remember that was this guy on the show?
Did you tell him that? Oh, so has Miles Sanders. Don't feel bad.
Oh, he texted me back too. Yeah, effing terrible. I texted him. I was like, Damian Pierce sucks some decent size. Oh, I'm just messing with this that was his. That was his.
That was his one guy that he was like.
That was his
breaking
guy.
Out.
Yeah, this is my. Let me give you guys my guy. And I was like, he had me going. I was like, oh yeah, man.
I thought he said Pierce. Latavius Murray or something like that the first time he said it. I was like, really interesting. He was like, that's not what I said. I was like, oh,
okay. Latavius Murray.
I'm glad you didn't say Latavius Murray, but all right, last one here.
All right, let's wrap
this
it up.
This is a big one because we've had some people ask us questions about this guy in particular. Tank Dell. Tank Dell currently on the year as a rookie is sitting at wide receiver 14, despite missing one game due to injury.
Mm-hmm.
He's been awesome.
Sweet.
Yeah, he's been, if I'm being honest, I probably have him too low. I have him currently as my wide receiver 25.
Okay.
Overall, like he's right ahead of George Pickens. I actually have him right behind Rashee Rice because I actually like Rashee Rice a lot in that offense. He's looked really good. There's a couple guys in here. Like
it's funny, I have him at 25 as well, but I'm looking at moving him up.
Yeah, there's some guys here I could probably move him up ahead of, like guys like Debo, Ayuk, Keenan Allen.
So that was kind of the question is, Are we ready to kind of call him the next guy in the category of Brandon Cooks, T.Y. Hilton, DeSean Jackson, where, yes, these small, slight guys, but it just doesn't matter. He's just that good.
Him and Josh Downs that we talked about were both outliers this year, mm-hmm. and both outliers hit, which is crazy to see two outliers hit. Won't change my process too much because it doesn't happen a ton, but maybe the NFL is changing a little bit.
Yeah.
I want to see Tank Dell. There's a couple things I want to see here on Tank Dell. One, phenomenal. This is no, I moved him on ranks. I have him wide receiver 25. Probably deserves to be a little bit higher, but in that tier, I'm not going to argue it. I want to see Tank Dell now continue to produce at a high level with Nico because, when Nico's in the field, it's a little bit different there.
Yeah. He's played fantastic as well.
Nico's been fantastic, and they've both been fantastic.
They've both been really good.
And I really do want to see, Nico's contract, is Nico's contract up this year?
Or he's got one more year. I think this was year three for him. So I think he's got one more year.
Yes, I think that's correct.
Yeah. I want to see what the Texans do at receiver this offseason as well.
I have a feeling they're not going to do anything big at receiver.
Me too.
What I think might happen. What I think might happen is I think we might see Dalton Schultz walk, and that would free up a spot to draft a Brock Bowers.
Yeah, that'd be sexy.
He's only on a 1-year deal, Dalton Schultz, and even just this past week when Brevin Jordan came back, they split. They went back to basically a split when Brevin Jordan came off IR, so I wouldn't be surprised either if Dalton Schultz moved on.
Brevin Jordan, nice big athletic tight end that doesn't catch the ball too well.
They were split in time. I mean, it's a mess if you have Dalton Schultz and you've been relying on him.
Yeah. So it's weird. Even though I'm a wide receiver 25, he's the kind of player that I would probably draft higher than I have ranked in a startup.
Okay.
Just because I'd want to have a share of him. And being tied to C.J. Stroud for the next 4 years is such a massive thing as well. So, he's interested. Being wide receiver 14, I couldn't bump him that high. And there's still some veterans that I would rather have. Like guys like Keenan Allen, who are just massive producers, points per game. But, Tank Dell, I think he's really established himself as a very good wide receiver too.
Real quick, I didn't have this in the notes, but I tried to do this on the way here just in my head, and I had a really hard time. Can you confidently rank the top five rookies right now with who you would want the most to least at the wide receiver position?
From this past class?
From this most recent class. So here are the five guys in my head that are the top five. Mm-hmm. Not in order, but just the top five guys. Tank Dell, JSN, Zay Flowers, Puka Nacua,
Jordan Addison.
Those in my mind were the top five that are kind of in their own little tier.
Yeah.
But I had a really hard time. Like I even went through and ranked them and I didn't like how it looked and I changed it and then I changed it again. Like I have a really hard time.
Well, that's because Zay Flowers, you probably had too high.
I was going to say, Zay
Flowers looks two tutties this week, baby. Just kidding.
Oh, he looks good. I think Zay Flowers would be my five out of that group, though.
See,
as much as everybody else loves him, just because.
I think he's an awesome talent. I think they're going to keep really utilizing
good.
Him.
I think it's a really good, solid wide receiver class.
No, he's a hard one to nail down because he is good, but that offense is.
The offense is not the most appealing offense. Yeah.
That's what makes
a strong run game right now.
That's what makes it difficult for him.
You're right. It is kind of hard because, do you take Puka one? Do you take Jackson Smith and Jigba one? Do you take? I would still take probably Jackson one.
Was Puka just the flash, right?
I don't know. He's definitely the flash. I think
Puka's the five for me of that group.
Really?
For me,
comp was I saw it on Twitter today from Izzy. Okay. Izzy Elkafast from DTC. Hines Ward.
I don't
he
hate that.
And I was watching the game. I don't hate that. He does remind me.
Of Hines part of the Ward reason he was so good was because he had Big Ben. So I'm curious.
I don't think he's a flash in the pan. I think he's a very solid receiver.
I think he's a guy that'll live in that wide receiver three range.
I would take Puka ahead of Zay Flowers.
I would take Zay Flowers ahead of Puka.
That's fair.
For me, I think this was how I had it. I had Puka last. Then I had Zay Flowers.
Second to last.
Then I had Tank Dell. Jordan Addison, JSN. I think that's how I had it.
I could live with that. You probably throw Josh Downs at six.
He's kind of in a weird tier of on his play when he was healthy, he probably deserved to be in that tier, but he hasn't been healthy. So we haven't seen as much of him. So I had a hard time. Like, I don't think he's...
He's not in that tier. I'm saying next tier, it'd be Josh Downs, Marvin Mims.
Rice.
Rashee Rice should be. I mean, I like Rashee Rice. I mean...
He's coming along, man.
He's looked good.
He looks really... And when he... The way he gets to the outside, his speed, his size, like... He fits that offense really well. I like Rashee Rice.
I'm glad he's finally utilizing that speed and not just trying to play like a
big receiver, big
physical, like, and actually utilizing that speed.
He's got the talent. He can get the edge.
Yep.
Like, he can get to the
outside.
That
was always my biggest thing with him, was like, I just don't know who he is.
His hips are loose enough.
Yeah.
Like, he's...
Mm-hmm. He's looked good.
He's the one guy that I watch when I go back and watch these games. I always come away when he gets the ball, like, impressed.
Yeah.
And like,
I totally agree.
There's been some opportunities for him to even have bigger games, but like, I don't have,
I don't have enough
Rashee Rice shares.
That will grow. I think that will just continue to
with
grow.
Pat Mahomes. I agree for sure. Like, and everything we want Sky Moore to be, Rashee Rice will turn into.
Yeah. I think that is probably the case.
And I'm really excited for next year. I think Rashee Rice will probably be one of my number one offseason targets.
Definitely.
Where, let this draft class sizzle a little bit. Mm-hmm. Let's see how teams kind of play out. But like, he's my number one target, I think, as of today in this offseason over any other player. And I think he will be obtainable. And I would pay, I want to see how this class plays out. But same thing, if I'm a contender, I have no problem going up a late first for Rashee Rice.
Okay.
I feel that good.
I could see that.
And I mentioned the same thing about Jaden Reed. You know, like,
yeah,
I don't feel like he's worth that late first, but like, I feel like Jaden Reed's, his name's
played really well.
Christian Watson's played his last couple games. Jordan Love's played fantastic these last couple weeks too.
Yeah.
He had that middle of the road where he's terrible. There.
We'll see.
Which is fine. His first year started. Yeah. You got to be okay with the roller coaster. He's looked really, really good these last 5 weeks. So I think I'm really excited about that. I think Dubs is the outside in, because I think it's going to be Watson, Jaden Reed, and Musgrave. So I think Dubs is kind of outside. Mm-hmm. But I really do like that core if Jordan Love can really kind of keep what he's going on today.
Yeah.
That's a good dynasty. Like, those are good dynasty pieces to have.
They need to figure out the running back
position. They're going to. That'll be next year. Yep. I mean, you know what I mean?
Easiest thing to figure out.
Yeah.
Just do it via draft.
Well, they need to figure out the line first.
Yeah, I would say the biggest concern is they got to beef up the offensive line to help everybody. So
yep, absolutely.
Yeah, so Tank Dell, phenomenal. He's looked great. But I think where I have him, I feel comfortable having. Because I had him, for
what it's worth, 2 weeks ago I had him at 32. I bumped him up to 25. He's sneaking close to my top 20. I don't know if he's going to get in, but he's approaching it.
He's in the tier of those players where if I put him there, it's not a big deal. Uh-huh. I'm just looking at like long-term like upside. Like, he's wide receiver 14 right now. I think he can live there as a wide receiver too.
Brandon Cooks, the guy that we comped him
to. With a year maybe here and there as a wide receiver one, but I don't know if that's totally there. We're like, going back to the guys, like I said, like Rashee Rice, like there's wide receiver one upside there with him. But again, he's tied to Pat Mahomes. Right. There's wide receiver one upside with Jaxon Smith-Njigba from his tape. So it's turned out to be a really nice class at receiver so far. Nice class overall.
Yeah, the running backs have looked pretty decent overall. You know, some guys obviously getting more opportunities than others, but both Bijan and Gibbs right now are running back ones.
You would argue Gibbs and even Achane have been more valuable than Bijan. And then you throw a guy like Tajay Spears, who got a little bit banged up this week, into that mix. Zach Charbonnet has looked okay, decent, but he's in timeshare, so I'm still not buying that Kool-Aid. Right. Overall, as long as you didn't take Quentin Johnson in this first round.
Or Bryce Young. You feel pretty decent.
You feel really good about it. Yeah. Even though in the second round, we're not even talking about, like, because you took Kincaid in the first round, you feel really good about that. And some of those hits in the second round. So overall, like year one pretty wise, solid. This is a pretty solid class.
Very good draft.
Yep. We've been so spoiled.
We have been.
These rookie classes.
Well, we hyped this class for a long time, and then it kind of dipped where we're like, oh, maybe this class isn't as good as we thought. And I was kind of back up like, oh, yeah, it was a good class. All right, we're good.
A lot of names are saving it that we didn't expect to come out with, you know, throwing the life reserver in the ocean for us. So it's been very pleasant, a lot of hits. And honestly, next year's class looks, 24 class looks really good too.
Looks really good.
Definitely have receiver. Like we said this last week, if you need a big wide receiver, man, Malik Nabers has been tearing it up.
He has. LSU. And he's one of the smallest ones at like 6 foot.
Yeah.
Keon Cole is hilarious.
Marvin Harrison Jr. Like this. It's going to be fun. I can't wait to dive into it.
You know how I like my LSU wide receivers. Something about that purple and yellow.
They do work out pretty well.
I mean,
I'm sure there's
a debate for another time.
I'm sure there's real names to those colors that everyone's screaming at me. Yeah. Right now. It's not purple and yellow.
Purple and yellow.
Yeah. But it would be interesting to look at Bama receivers, Ohio State receivers, and LSU receivers. Like, yeah, who's been the best over the past decade, decade and a half?
Yeah.
Because all those three schools have produced a lot.
A lot.
They have. They're the king of the crops.
High end.
All I know is if they play at Baylor, I want nothing to do with them. They're banned for life.
Done something, Mims.
I know you said you scout the player and not to school, but sorry. Baylor's, they're off the list.
They're off. Hey, they're off.
People
Rich's
said
list.
That about Ohio State quarterbacks for a long time, and look what we got now.
I thought Denzel Mims was going to break the mold.
I
for
really
sure.
did too.
I liked him. Did I?
Yeah. That was.
I thought that was the one.
That was the biggest giveaway. Should have been played at Baylor.
Is that known. Green on his jersey? I'm out.
I'm out. Sorry. Not this time. Actually, you know, Josh Gordon for the 1 year, he's the best.
That's true.
Baylor receiver for yeah, 1 year.
Absolutely.
And now look at weed's legal everywhere and poor Josh is out.
Like, he was a decade too soon.
They even test for weed in NFL. I know. What could have been? Man, I saw that guy at Barley House smoking weed.
Adios. In the back patio.